we'll open up to Daf Tesam. I don't see one. I don't see an extra one here, but we'll keep looking. So open up to Daf Tesamid Beis, and you can either count down from the top or count up from the bottom, whichever way you like. And we're talking about Omer of Yosef. So the first word in the line is Yosef, if that helps anybody. Tesamid Beis. Omer of Yosef. Hevi Abal Edim Shezinsa. Now what happens is, as you know, there's a 12-month period of time between Erisin and Nisuin. And during that period of time, she lives in her father's Rishus. And she's an Eishes Ish. Which means that if she has a relationship with another person, that's a violation of an Eishes Ish. And the Baal now brings Edim to prove that she had this relationship. If the Baal's Edim are proven to be false, and we'll see exactly how that happens, then we get into the parasha which is called Motzi Shemra. And in Motzi Shemra, we have a punishment which is called Mea Kesef. It's a very severe, stiff penalty. So how do we prove that the witnesses of the Baal perjure themselves, and this is not a true testimony, it's a fabrication. So we're now in the parasha of Hazoma, and the Edim now say to the Edi Abal, this is the second pair of Edim, Imanu Ayisim, you could have been there to witness this nus, this immoral act, because you were with us elsewhere at that time. And in fact, as you know, every Eidus, in order to be valid, has to be Eidus HaTeyochel HaZima. That's why we investigate the Eidim. When they come to testify, we make sure they tell us exactly at what time and what place, so that now they're subject to HaZoma. What do we do? What punishment should we mete out, in this case, to the Eidei HaBaal, who turn out to be Eidim Zomamim? The Torah says what? So we have a din of kashizoma. Well, let's go back to the Edei HaBaal themselves and let's see what their hazoma was. Well, first of all, they wanted to put the woman to death because she was guilty of a capital crime. And that's why the next line in the Gemara says Edei HaBaal Neharogim, meaning that now that the Edim of the Baal turn out to be Edim Zomamim, and we have to fulfill the din of Kasha Zomam, they have to be put to death. However, the Gemara goes on to say, in the name of Yosef, the Ein Mishalmim Mamon. What does this mean? So we mentioned that the thrust of the Edus, I'm talking about the Edei HaBaal, is to put her to death. But there's another dimension to their Edus, another repercussion. And that is that they're going to be mafsid hadik suba. Normally a woman, in a first marriage situation, has rights to collect a ksuba. How much is that? Masayim zuz, 200 zuz, correct? Now, she was mizana, according to the testimony of the Edei HaBaal, and she no longer has rights to the ksuba. She forfeits her ksuba. So when we look at the thrust of the edus of the Baal, we have a two-pronged repercussion. Number one, she has to be put to death. And number two, she's going to lose her ksuba. In the context of Vasisim lo kashazomam, we should now impose a double punishment upon the Edei HaBaal. They should, number one, be put to death because they wanted to put her to death. And number two, they should be paying the 200 zuz because they wanted to be mafsid on the 200 zuz. Does everybody have that? And yet, Rav Yosef says, take a look at it inside, Ein Mishalmim Mamon. We're not going to fulfill Kasha Zaman to the T, imposing, as it were, a double punishment because we have a principle called Kim Lei B'Derava Mineh. Which means that Beis Din can only mete out one punishment, and they mete out the more severe punishment. Which is the more severe of these two punishments? death, right, miso. So we condemn the Edom to death when they become Zomimim, but, and this is good news for the Yorshim, we alleviate the Edom from their responsibility of Kasha Zomim to pay for the Ksuba, the 200 Zuz. However, now look at the next stage. Chazar vehevi abal edim vezimam li edi av. This is like a chagadya over here. What happens now? A third pair of edim come into business. And this third pair of edim is brought in by the Baal. And they testify against the edi av, against the edim who testified that the edi abal was over him, that you could have been there to see the edi abal and to be with the edi abal in the place, because at that time you were with us. Now at this point, the edi av who were brought into Beis Din to be mazim the edi abal, now they become zomimim. What would be the punishment that we mete out to the Edi Av? Says Rav Yosef, Nerogim u'mishalmim. In this case, we're going to impose a double punishment. What does that mean about Kimlei v'Rabinei? It doesn't apply. Why doesn't Kimlei v'Rabinei apply in this case? How are we able to impose a double punishment? Now let's again go through the calculation. The Edi Av testified against the Edi Abal that the Edi Abal are Edim Zomimim. What would be the thrust or the impact of their Edus? Meaning once we establish the Edi Av, I'm sorry, the Edi Abal, that's the second pair of Edim, right? Just one second, let me go through one more time. So now we have the Edi Av that accuse the Edi Abal of being Zomimim. Okay, now let's take a look. The Edi Av are now becoming Zomimim by virtue of the third pair of Edim, which is being subpoenaed by the Baal. Give me one minute, Alan, just so I can get the Cheshbon here, because in Cheshbon I'm very bad, so I want to get this. So now, the Edi Av tried to be Mechayev Misa to the Edi Baal, because they said Imanu Ayisa. But not only that, by disqualifying the Edi Abal, what happens to the Baal now? What does he become by inviting Edim to testify that his wife was Mizana, and now we turn out to prove that these Edim have fabricated this story? He becomes what? No. The Baal is not Chayiv Misa for bringing an Edim. You know, you want to put the Edim to death, but don't put the Baal to death. But the Baal becomes a Motzi Shemra. Now, what makes the Baal a Motzi Shemra? The answer is the Edi Av. That's the second pair of Edim. Why? Because they testified to disqualify the first pair of Edim of the Baal. Are you with me? So now, once we disqualify and prove that the Edi Baal fabricated the story, then the Baal becomes a Motzi Shemra. He has to pay Mea Kesef to the father of his wife, right? His father-in-law. And in addition, the Edi Av want to put the Edi Baal to death. Do you follow? So there are two chiyuvim here that should be imposed on the Edi Av when it turns out the Edi Av fabricated the story. They became Zomimim. Number one, they have to do Kasha Zomim Li Achiv, being the Baal, because the Baal now is the Motzi Shemra and he has to pay Mea Kesef. They also have to come under a different Kasha Zomim because they are trying to put the Edi Baal to death.
They're never giving Edus on the Baal. It may have a consequence on the Baal, but it's not relevant. Their Edus was purely on the location of the first set of Edus.
It works like this. When a Baal brings Edim to testify that his wife was Mizana, at that point, he now becomes vulnerable for or culpable under the law of Motzi Shemra, meaning he has two choices. Either he proves that his Edim are telling the truth, or if we disprove the testimony of the Edim, he becomes a Motzi Shemra. The entire parasha of Motzi Shemra stands or falls on the validity of the Edim that the Baal brings into Beis Din. So when the Edi Av say to the Edi Baal, your Edus is disqualified, it means that the Baal had brought into two witnesses who perjured themselves in a court of law, the Baal is therefore chayiv meir kesef as a motzi shemra. That's the entire parasha of motzi shemra. But how do they disprove the Eidei HaBaal? Or let me put it to you in a different way. How do they establish that the Eidei HaBaal fabricated or falsified their Eidus? Through Hazama. So the Hazama now is a two-pronged Hazama. It's Hazama because on the one hand it means that the Eidei HaBaal, because they perjured themselves, right? Therefore, they have to be put to death, right? Because again, the Eidei HaBaal are testifying that she had znus and she's chayav misa. But at the same time, what the Eidei HaAv are now establishing is that since the Eidei HaBaal falsified their testimony, he becomes a motzi shemra. Why? Because since he invited these Edom into Beis Din, and these Edom are false Edom, therefore he becomes a motzi shemra. He's chayav meir kesef. So again, do you have the calculation here? I'll take questions in just a second. I just want to make sure we got the mathematics here. The mathematics is crucial. We're looking at the thrust of the Eidei HaAv, because now the Eidei HaAv are going to become
responsible
the second
for
pair. What are they accomplishing, and what's their zmama? Because they became Eidim Zolomim through the third pair of Eidim, who are Mazim, the Eidei HaAv. So let's look at the Eidei HaAv. There's a twofold repercussion to the Eidei HaAv. One has to do with Motzi Shemra. What they're basically saying is that the husband brought false testimony to accuse his wife of znus. That is the parasha of Motzi Shemra. At the same time, how do they establish that the husband brought false testimony by being mazim the husband's edim? And that means that the edim, when they said that we were there to see that this woman during the Erisim period had znus, she's going to be put to death. So therefore the Eidei HaAv are now doing two things, so to speak. They're accomplishing two goals, and they have a double zmama. Do you follow me by a zmama? Notice their intention here is a twofold intention. One is an accusation of the Baal that he brought in false Eidim, and therefore he's a motzi shemra, he has to pay mea kesef. And then it's an accusation for the Eidei HaBaal that they falsified their Eidus, and therefore they tried to put her to death, and therefore they are chayav misa the Eidei HaBaal under the law of kasha zoma. So if we define the thrust of the Eidei HaAv in a twofold way, now when the Eidei HaAv becomes zomimim, should we now apply a double punishment, meaning that the Eidei HaAv now have to be put to death because they wanted to put the Eidei HaBaal to death, and at the same time they should have to pay the mea kesef because they wanted the Baal to pay the mea kesef? But now we have to encounter which principle, Rav Ozai? Kim Levi the Ramine. Says Rav Yosef, in this case Ne'rogim u'meshalmim. That means that the Eidei HaAv will suffer a double punishment. They will be put to death under the kasha zomam vis-a-vis the Eidei HaBaal, and they will be paying the 200, they will be paying the 100 mar kesef because the kasha zomam vis-a-vis the Baal himself, because they accused the Baal, because the Eidei HaAv accused the Baal of being a motzi shemra. What happened to Kim Levi the Rabamine? Says Rav Yosef, Mamon Lezeh Unefashis Lezeh. We now have a new principle, which is called Mamon Lezeh Unefashis Lezeh. And this principle is the, how should I say, the antithesis, or the, if we could call it, I'm just using a, it's the adversary or the restriction, the limitation of kasha zoma. When do we apply kasha zoma? So in the first case, when the Eidei HaBaal became Eidim Zomimim, the Eidei HaBaal were accusing her of a chiyuv misa and causing her to lose aksuba. Therefore, it's what we call misa lezeh Umaman lezeh, meaning it's misa mama. No. Let me say it better. It's misa umaman li echad. But in the second case, where we are putting, where the Eidei HaAv became zomimim, And when we analyze what the Edia Av was, there's Mama. It was Misa Lazer Umam Lazer. They wanted to put the Edim of the Baal to death, and they wanted to force the Baal to pay the Meir Kesef as a Motzi Shemra.
Different party.
In such a case, we don't apply Kim Levi the Rabbi. Why? Because we now separate these two punishments. One punishment, you have a chair here? See if you can, or you can take this chair if you like and just switch it and turn it around. I'm sorry, I forgot your name.
Sam.
Okay, now Sam, it would take me about 20 minutes to take you up, but hopefully you're a genius, so you'll follow. Okay, so what does this mean, Mama Lezeh Nefashis Lezeh? It means that this is not an overlap of two punishments for the same crime, but rather it's like two separate crimes. There was one crime that the Edia Av wanted to mete out against the Baal, and that's called Mamon Lezeh, and then there's another crime that they wanted to mete out against the Edia Baal, and that's called the Fashis Lezeh. Once we separate the two, we no longer apply the principle of Kim Levi Rabbeinu. So again, Kim Levi Rabbeinu means that they're attacking her. Correct? Let's say, for example, in the case of the Edei HaBaal who became Zobimim, what they were doing is they were trying to be mafsid her l'ksub and also to put her to death. So she becomes the victim of this crime. And if there are two punishments for that crime, we only apply the more severe punishment and we alleviate the second punishment because of the principle of Kim Levi Rabbeinu. But once we have two different victims, it becomes like two different crimes that happen to, by chance, overlap. So it means that the Edia Av, with those two words of Imono Ayisem, as they address it to the Edia HaBaal, are now doing two things to two different people. It's in effect they are two criminal acts. Again, it's only one Imono Ayisem. That's all they said. Two words came out of their mouth. But it's two different victims, two different Maisim, two different criminal acts. And they're going to suffer both punishments. And we don't apply the principle of what? Kim Levi the Rabbi. Any questions now? Yeah. Now they got the mathematics down.
Thank you. I get the whole thing. The only problem is, as I understand, the Baal brings along two witnesses. He said, these two guys, I've never met them before in my life, claim that they saw my daughter's misbehaving, right?
My wife in this case.
I'm sorry, mom.
Because we're talking about Motzi Shemra.
Yeah, my wife. This, he doesn't know their story. He doesn't know whether their story is true. He just knows that these two people came to him, told him the story, and he brings them along to Betin. The other set of Betin find that the first witnesses were lying. He's guilty of Motzi Shemra. What did he do?
Because
he just brought along the witnesses.
If he accuses her of znus, he's a Motzi Shemra. Until he can prove that his claim is correct.
So he shouldn't bring
he's
along.
Guilty until proven innocent.
So he shouldn't bring along the witnesses. If witnesses come along, he shouldn't bring them along unless he's checked them out.
Correct.
So how does he check them out? He goes to Bethlehem and says, these two people came along with a story and I'm bringing them to you. You decide what the... And then on that he's Motzi Shemra.
If a person has vested interest and he brings Edom to bolster or to support his claim, we believe that if those Edom are not true Edom, then he implicated his wife in a crime that she wasn't guilty of.
Right, so he's got motivation, but no proof that no Edom came along and put a connection between the two of them. Oh, I mean, okay.
Oh, you're talking about a case where the Edom came on their own?
Well, I don't know where they
I don't know. That's an interesting question. Well, what happens if the Edom came on their own
if
initiative?
They came on their own, you can
I don't know. No, I don't know. We're not learning the Sugya Motzi Shema right now, but you're right. I would say logically, just intuitively, he brought the Edom into business. He makes a claim and he says, I'm not going to pay the ksuba. I'm not going to marry this woman. She had this, this elaborate. And then he says, I'm going to prove my claim by bringing Edom. So if he can't prove his claim, he's a Motzi Shemra.
So he's
defaming his wife.
So if he's got any sense, he'll come to Betim with these two witnesses. As I said, I've never seen these two.
Wait, start again. You went too fast.
If he's got any sense, the guy will come to
Betim. Oh, sense, okay.
He'll come to Betim with his two witnesses. As I've never seen these guys in my life, but they came up to me and told me this story, and I want you to check it out.
Possibly. You know, you might be right. I don't know. For that, we'd have to really, start. The intricate minutia of Motzi Shemra. I don't know. But again, the classic case of Motzi Shemra is he comes into Beis Din and he says, I consummated the marriage, which happens after the Chuppah, 12 months after the Erusin, and guess what? I didn't find Besulin. I didn't find it to be, but he can't prove it. So he says, I have Edim who saw the Znus. And he brings in the Edim. So he's so eager to defame his wife that he even organized it that he can get false witnesses to support his claim. How do I know these witnesses are lying? Because they became Edom Zomim. In such a case, he's defamed his wife. And the Torah, again, I don't want to get into philosophy here, but the Torah is basically saying, once a husband comes into Beis Din and accuses his wife of this act of znus, he's playing with fire. As far as we're concerned, he's defaming his wife. Every woman has a cheskes kashrus. We believe that she's pure and she's loyal. If he claims that she's not loyal, he's a motzi shema. Until he proves his claim. That's why I say he's guilty until proven innocent.
Okay, you added something else now, which I didn't hear before, but this is after the 12 months. After he himself has a claim that he didn't find that she was...
Again, that's again what the Torah describes in Parshas Ki Tetzeh. We'll read it this Shabbos. But it could be that there's Motzi Shema in other cases too. We're not learning the, you know, the whole sugi Motzi Shema, but the classic case of Motzi Shema is when he comes into Beis Din and he says, this woman that I'm marrying now is not a basula, she cheated on me, and I'm going to prove it to you, I have two witnesses. He's now a motzi shema until he can prove with these witnesses that she was guilty of that crime. Now the witnesses come in. Are these witnesses accepted? Are they valid? Are they truthful? Are they reliable? And the answer is yes, until they are subject to hazam. The father brings in two witnesses. The whole story is like very fishy over here. You know, like, what's going on over here? You know, the father cannot tolerate what's going on because this is an insult to him and his family and his daughter. Not only that, his daughter is about to be put to death. So what does he do? He brings in Edim to be Mazim, the first pair of Edim that the Baal brought in. At that point, two things happen. Number one, the Baal becomes a Motzi Shemra because the Edim that he brought into Beis Din are false Edim. And number two, the Edim have to be put to death because they tried to put her to death. Here, Rav Yosef applies a new principle called Mamon Lezeh Nefashos Lezeh. We suspend the normal operation of Kimlev Rabbanim because it's Mamon Lezeh Nefashos Lezeh. In effect, the Edei Av are facing two different cases over here. There's one case that they're taking up. You know how I don't know if you know anything about the courts in Israel. There's something called Ptichat Tik. You know, so they open a tik. I don't know how would you call it in English?
A file, a case.
A file, a case. So they open one case against the Baal. Why? Because the Edei Av is saying that the Baal brought in false witnesses, and they open up another case against the Edim, because they're saying that the Edim perjured themselves and tried to condemn my daughter to death on a false premise, because Imanu Yisa, they couldn't have been there to see that. Now if the Edei Av becomes Zomimim, it's Mamon Lezeh Nefashos Lezeh, there's Shnei Tikim. And that's the Chiddush of Rav Yosef. However, again, in the first case, let's just go over it once more, where the Edei Baal turned out to be Zomimim, in that case, we're going to apply the principle of Kimlev D'Rabbanim. Why? Because there it's Mamon Lezeh Nefashos Lezeh. They are, the testimony of the Baal, if they turn out to be fabricated, is a testimony. Number one, to put her to death, and number two, for her to lose her ksuba. And there, there's one victim, and it's one criminal act with two punishments. We don't apply two punishments to one criminal act. That's Kimlev D'Rabbanim. What I want to study with you now is the Sefer Gvuras Yitzhak. You're familiar with my style over here. I can't give you that because I don't have another copy. If somebody would be kind enough to run over and make a copy. That would be helpful. Okay, then. So you're looking on the bottom left of the first page. I mean, you only have one page, am I right? Because it's double sided.
Yeah.
I have two pages because the original wasn't double sided. And this article, this essay in the Gvuras Yitzchak, as I've mentioned many times, it's authored by Rabbi Yitzchak Sorotskin Shlita. He's alive. Is based on a Tosfos, which is not here in Sanhedrin, but it's in Ksubas. Now keep in mind that the main address for Kimlev D'Rabbanim is the third parak of Ksubas. I personally made a siyum on that parak for the first time in my life on Sunday of this week. And Monday we started Chulin, we started Kolav Basar. So what does Tosfos say in Masechet Ksubas? What happens in the following case? I'll first read it and then I'll explain it. He says, "Hey, idu al echad shahotzi shemra al ishto." Two witnesses come into Beis Din, and they claim that somewhere in some court, this Baal was condemned as a motzi shemra. Again, we don't have any evidence to that effect, other than the evidence of the testimony of these two eidim. And then vahuzmu, it turns out that these eidim were eidim zomimim. So let's just think this out before we read what Tosis has to say. The eidim that testified against someone that he's a motzi shemra are testifying first and foremost that he has to pay the mea kesef. Now, there's another dimension here of motzi shemra. Motzi shemra gets malchus. And now we have a question of mamanu malchus. Should we apply the principle of kim leib d'rabbanan? Until now we've been talking about kim leib d'rabbanan in case of misa and mamon. Now we're going to have a case of kim leib d'rabbanan where it's mamon and malchus, or flip it around if you like, malchus and mamon. So the question is, should we mete out malchus as the more severe of the two punishments? I mean, that itself is questionable, but let's assume that malchus is a more severe punishment than mamon. Or shall we say that in this case, we should be imposing a double chiyuv, mamon and malchus. Kevon sherotzu lechayev shneihem. So the eidim testified about a person that he's a motzi shemra al ishto. And the thrust of their eidus is a twofold punishment. Number one, mamon. And number two, malchus. Now, let's just think for a moment. If a person is motzi shemra, what violation? You don't give a person malchus until he violates a lav in the Torah. What lav, what violation is the husband guilty of if he's a motzi shemra, that he should get malchus? So that's called lo telech rachil ba'mecha. Have you ever heard of that lav? That means to slander a person is a violation of a lav. So the Baal in this case ends up with a double chiyuv as a result of being a motzi shemra.
It's lav shem b'maisa, isn't it?
Good, that's an interesting question. Should it be a lav shem b'maisa? But in any event, on the one end, so again, in a normal case of a person who slanders someone, so there's no monetary payment for that. But in the case of a Baal who slanders his wife, accusing her of znus, in addition to the general violation of a lav, of lo telech rachil, of what do we call it, of lo telech rachil b'mecha, he has an additional payment of a penalty which is called mea kesef. Why? Because he's a motzi shemra. So for defaming someone, you can get malchus, but you don't have to pay anything. But in the case of a husband who defames his wife, the Torah is mechadish, and in addition to the malchus, he also has to pay mea kesef. Now the eidim who accused the Baal of being a motzi shemra turn out to be zomimim, and the Tosis faces the following question: should we impose upon the eidim under kashrus zomim a double punishment of mamon u'malchus, or shall we apply the principle of kim leib d'rabbanan? So Rav Moshe, what would you say intuitively before we see?
It's one victim. So
correct, there's one victim, so we should apply kim leib d'rabbanan. Why? Because both the mamon that the Baal has to pay as a motzi shemra under the accusation of these eidim who turn out to be eidim zomim, and a malchus
for slander,
are both a result of one avera, one person who's guilty of both. So therefore we should apply kim leib d'rabbanan.
What are the two averas? They sound like the same avera.
But again, it's the same avera of one person. So if it's two punishments for one avera, then we apply kim leib d'rabbanan. The only exception to the rule of kim leib d'rabbanan is when you have two averas of two different people. Now, The Baal is chayev mamon as a motzi shemra. The Edom are chayev misa because they perjured themselves and they accused her of being chayev misa. Then we're going to say misa lezeh, mamon lezeh, and we'll suspend the principle of kimle v'ramine. But in this case, the Edom who turn out to be zomimim have a double kasha zomim against one person, against the Baal. Why? Because he slandered his wife, and for that he deserves malchus, and at the same time he deserves to pay the knas of mea kesa.
It's the same
avera,
and he's getting two punishments.
Why does he owe the man? Kim Leib is a principle that says you cannot give a person two punishments for one avera.
Yeah, but it sounds like there's two punishments for the same avera. I only see one avera that he did.
No, it's slander and motzi shemra.
That's two different averas.
That's different.
I thought we learned motzi shemra from the slander.
I see what you're saying. Well, hold on for just a minute. It could be that what you're saying is correct. I have to think about it as we go along. But let me just see Rabbi Kivega's cash. So again, Tosis says that in this case, we do not apply the principle of Kim Leib Neramine, which means that the Edim who turned out to be Zomim, that he falsely accused the Baal of being a Motzi Shemra, will suffer double punishment. Hiksha Rabbi Kivega, Maishno, why is this different? Then Edim Heidu al Ishto Shel Plonish Zinso, right? We're talking about the Edi Baal in our Sugya. And those Edim turn out to be Zomimim. So they wanted to put her to death and they wanted her to lose her Ksuba. And therefore, moving on to the next page, Lo Mishalmim Mamon, if there's one victim of the Kasha Zomam, of the Edim that turn out to be Zomimim, then we don't impose upon them two punishments, because if there's one victim and one crime, just one second, so again, he was Motzi, right, so the Edim, let's focus on the Edim now, so the Edim wanted to put her to death, and they wanted to be mafsid hit the Ksuba. So in terms of the Hefsed Ksuba, since that's something that they wanted to mete out to her, right? She's the victim of the Kasha Zomam. We cannot give them two punishments and we'll apply Kim Leib Neramine. So Reb Kivega asks the following question. In the case of Mammon and Malchus, likewise, the Baal, who is falsely accused of being a Motzi Shemra, he's going to suffer two punishments. He's going to get Malchus and he's going to pay the Knas of Mea Kesef. So therefore, the Edom, when they become Edom Zomimim, they should only suffer one of those two punishments because of the law of Kim Leib Neramine. How can Tosis possibly say that we're given both Malchus and Mammon? Does everybody have the kasha? Yes, no, maybe? Yes. Let me go over it one more time. Whenever the Edom Zomimim are trying to impose a double chiyuv of Misa and Mammon on one individual, we're going to apply the principle of Kim Leib Neramine. So if the Edi Abala are trying to put this woman to death, falsely testifying that she had his nus, and at the same time she has to lose her ksuba, then we're going to apply the principle of Kim Leib Neramine. If that be the case, if two Edim testify against someone, accusing him of being a Motzi Shema, which means that he has to get Malchus and Mammon, if they, these Edom, turn out to be Zomimim, we're not going to impose upon them a double punishment. We're going to apply the principle of Kim Leib Neramine. This is clearly not a case of Mammon Lezeh and Nefashis Lezeh. So why then does Tosas say that we're going to apply the principle of Kim Leib Neramine? I'm sorry, that we're going to suspend the principle of Kim Leib Neramine and they're going to get both punishments. The Edom who falsely accused the Baal of being a Motzi Shemra will now suffer both Malchus and Mammon. Why is that so? So he quotes what we used to call in our youth, we called it the Reb Chaim stencil. Did you? I don't know, I'm dating myself. Well, in the old days, there was Reb Chaim published this Chidushim, and then there were different students who wrote down Shiurim, that they had heard from Reb Chaim, and somebody collected them and published them in what we call a stencil form. Mm-hmm. Do you gentlemen know what the word stencil mean? They still use that word? I mean, it doesn't exist anymore, but anyway, they would offset it in stencil. It wasn't a what?
Offset.
I'm doing it in school.
Right. Again, you know,
I'm old enough.
Yeah, you remember stencils? Yeah. Okay. Okay. So he calls it Kisvei Reb Chaim. Kisvei means the writings that are attributed to the Chidushim of Reb Chaim. Okay, it doesn't matter. So he says the following. That Misa and Mamon is different than Malchus and Mamon. How is that so? There are two different sources in the Gemara in Ksubis. This is a sugyan daf Lamed Beis going on to daf Lamed Gimel. Two different sources in the Torah for Kim Leiber the Rabbi. One source is called the Lo Yeh Ason on No Sheh Nesh. This is a parsha in Mishpatim. What happens is that there's a brawl, a fight between two men. Let's call them Reuven and Shimon. And Reuven tries to kill Shimon with a very major blow. Let's say, I'm just trying to dramatize it, let's say Shimon ducks. And instead, Reuven hits a pregnant woman. She loses her vlodos. Let's say she had twins and they died. So the Torah says the following. Does Beis Din impose a payment on Reuven who destroy the lives of these the life of the fetus, let's say? It depends. Im lo yason, which means if she survives, then anoshi anesh. Then they have to pay what's called dmei vlados. They have to compensate the baal for the dmei vlados. Why? Because lo yason, because she survived. However, if she dies, then lo yanesh. Why? Because then Reuven is to be put to death as a murderer. Don't get sidetracked, but there's a whole machlokus in between Rebbe and the Chachamim about his kavin larugasev hargas acher. He didn't really intend to kill her. He intended to kill Shimon. But in any event, Reuven killed her. He's exempt from punishment till put to death. So the bad news is that he's going to be put into the electric chair. The good news is that he doesn't have to pay for the domain vlog. That's called Kim Lev Neram. So that's a case of Misa and Mama. And the Misa knocks off the Mama. Then there's another source for Kim Lev Neram. And that's called Kidei Rish Aso. In the parsha of Malchus, the Torah says that we give him a punishment for one rishus. Kidei rishasu is in the singular, but not for two rishayos. And that's called Mishum Risha Achas Atomachaivo, Viya Tomachaivo al Shtei Rishayos. And Beis Din cannot implement two punishments for the same crime. So Reb Chaim wants to know, what's the difference between these two sources? They both teach us the same conclusion, that Beis Din will not impose two different punishments. Why do we need two different parashios? Are you with me on that? So let's read Reb Chaim inside. Reb Chaim says that the din of Eino Meis U'Meshalem is fundamentally different than the din of Eino Loke U'Meshalem. The Misa U'Mamon, in a case where he's Chayav Misa and he doesn't pay the Mamon Yalfin, and we derive it from Lo Yason. And now Reb Chaim adds the following. What does this teach me, V'lo Yason, in the case of Misa and Malchus? So you want to underline the next four words. Mis, the Chiyuv Misa Poter, five words, Mi Chiyuv Mama. Underline that word Poter. Does anybody know what he means by Poter?
He's been killed anyway, so he might as well. So he's exempting from the...
Correct. There's like an exemption here. Because of the nature of the punishment that he's receiving. So there's something inherent in the Chiyuv Misa which generates a p'tur on the Chiyuv Mamon. Like if I owe you Mamon, then in various rare cases there's something called a p'tur and I'm exempt from paying you. And one of those is called the Chiyuv Misa. The Chiyuv Misa exempts a person from paying Mammon if the Chiyuv Misa and the Chiyuv Mammon overlap in one Avera. That's what we derive from the Parsha of Lo Yason, which is the source for Misa and Mammon. Masha Einkein Hadien Olokim Mishalim. If there's an overlap of two Chiyuv and Malkus and Mammon, Hare Yalfina Le Mikro, we derive from a different Pasuk, and the source is Kedei Rishoso, Deal Risha Achas Atomachayv Oviyat Omachayv Al Shtei Rishoyos. That's already a different halacha. That doesn't mean that the Malkos is such a punishment that it generates a Ptur of Mammon. That's not what we're saying. We're just saying that you can only impose one punishment for a crime and not two punishments for a crime. Vinire, the Svaras Atosvis, the Edim Shizomu Lechayev Mamanu Malkos, Chayovim Shneem. Why? The Mikavan the Chiyuv Mamanu Malkos Travayu Mikashi Zomam. Again, I'm just reading it inside. Vera Edim Zomu Lechayvu Shneem. Says Reb Chaim, a reza chosh of risha achas. Ulekach ein amalkos potro mimamon. When the Torah says kasha zomam, and these Edom falsely accused Reuven of being a motzi shemra, which means that Reuven now gets malkos and he has to pay mamon, there's mama is one indivisible's mama, it's one rishus. And that rishus includes within it an accusation against Reuven that he has to pay Mammon and he has to get Malkus. In this case, we don't apply the principle of Kedei Rishoso, because Kedei Rishoso of Mammon and Malkus is going to apply when there's an overlap between an Avera, for which you get Malkus, and compensation, which is Mammon. But here, where the Chiyuv is because of Kasha Zomam, the Zmama of the Edom is a Zmama that incorporates, includes within it both Malkus and Mama. So when Beis Din is giving him punishment, it's punishment for one Rishus. It's not an overlap of two Rishayos. So again, when do we apply the principle of Kedei Rishoso? That's only when you have an overlap of two different criminal acts. And he deserves two different punishments for these two criminal acts. So we're going to say no. Beis Din is, their hands are tied, and they cannot implement two different punishments. But if it's one rishus, then that's not shtei rishayos. Whatever that rishus is, it may have many different ramifications, many different punishments. That's what's going to have to be meted out, and that's what Kasha Zolim tells me, that there's mama. What they wanted to do to the, in this case, the Baal, accusing him falsely of being a motzi shema, that's what we have to do to them. But they are getting punishment for one rishus, for the intention of the kasha zoma. So let's go over. The near and disfaras atosis, the edim shizomamu lechayev mamon umalkis, chayovim shneem. And why is that so, says Tosis, that now we have no problem of Kimlev the Rabbinate, we can impose upon the Edom a double punishment of Mammon and Malkus, who did we cave on? The Achiv Mammon and Malkus Travayu Mikash Zomam, the Edom Zomu Lechayv Shneem Misu Malkus and Mammon, Hareza Choshev Risha Achas. Ulekach, Ena Malkus Potro Mi Mammon. In other words, the Kedei Rishoso never told me that Malkus generates a Ptur of Mammon. All the Kedei Rishoso was able to tell me is that you can't mete out two punishments for two different Rishoyos. But here in this case of Kasha Zomam, it's only one Rishus. The Lav Shtei Rishoyos Ninu. It's not two different criminal acts. It's only one. However, says Reb Chaim, Zeu Rak B'Malkus U'Mammon. Why? Because what's the source for Kimlev and Rabinei and Malkus and Mammon? It's because of Kedei Rishoso. So it all depends upon whether we're meeting out two punishments for one Risha or for two Rishayos. If we're meeting out two punishments for two Rishayos, then the Torah says you can't do that because of Kedei Rishoso, Mishum Risha Achas. Aval B'Misa U'Mammon, What's the source for Kimle the Rabin in the case of Misu Mamon? Lo yalfina la mikra dekdei risha, so el mikra de lo yason. And what do we derive from that limud, from that yalfusa? Misa poter mi mamon. And that's going to apply afilu begavno davi risha achas. So the Edom Zomimim, who testified against the Isha that she had znus, and therefore she's condemned to death, and number two, she loses her ksuba, that's mamon. So here the halacha is derived from lo yason, that the misa generates a ptur of mamon, meaning that there's no chiyuv mamon. It could all be one rishus, but it doesn't matter because the meaning out of the punishment of misa now generates a ptur, an exemption as far as mamon is concerned. The lachen edim zomim shezomu lechayv misu mamon ne'erogim v'ein mishalmim mamon. How many people understood a word of what I said? Okay, I think I shot too high. Maybe is this too complicated?
You spent time with it. Can you explain to Rishaivus exactly how you spell it and then how do you translate it?
Wickednesses.
Well, when you spell it, I mean, you don't have the text in front of you.
It's, I didn't see it anyway.
You're not following the text.
Oh, it's lost.
All right. So if you want me to spell it for you, I can spell it for you. You're going to write this down, or should I write it on the what?
Reshin
Ayin. Reshin Ayin. And then you're going to put a unit above to make it into plural. Rishayot. So the Torah says that if you have an overlap of two Rishayot, like I'll give you an example. Let's say a person beats up his friend. So that's a rishus because the Torah says pen yosef, which means you're not allowed to beat up somebody. Assault is a violation of a law in the Torah. There's another rishus over here that you caused him a loss. He's got to pay doctor's bills, and it's called bezek tzarich rishus. There's five categories of law. That's a compensation for the physical body that suffered as a result of the assault. Here we have, in one action, an overlap. If it helps you, you could call it one Risha ben Adam le-Makom and another Risha ben Adam le-Chavero. I mean, that's not accurate here, because even Ben Yosef is ben Adam le-Chavero. But what I mean to say is, one is for the criminal act itself, per se. When you raise your hand against another Jew, and how much more so if you wound him, that's a violation of a Torah. And at the same time, there's a nizik in here, which means that you cause someone damages and you have to pay him compensation for the damages. In this case, there's an overlap of two punishments for one action, and the Torah says we can only punish you for one rishus, that's called kidei rishaso in singular, but not two rishayos. And that's called eido loka mishalim. That's derived in the case of Malchus a moment from Kidei Rishasa. If, however, there would be one Rishus, it's all one Rishus. He testified a false testimony against this Baal, accusing him falsely of being a Motzi Shemra. In such a case, it's called Risha Achas. And if it's Risha Achas, under the law of Kasha Zomam, we're going to mete out all the punishments under that Risha. And if that Risha has a double punishment, we'll mete out both punishments. That's the Chiddush of Reb Chaim.
Yeah, the one thing, if I can clarify my own mind, you can get a case with Misa where it's Risha Achas, but because it's based on Lo Ye'osan, we don't look at it as Risha Achas. So is that enough to be saying?
Well,
because it's coming from... I remember a case somewhere in Shas, maybe sort of whatever, where somebody lit a fire on Shabbos
and
went to his neighbor's field.
Correct.
Right?
That's a Mishnah in the Masechta Bava Kamma, right? Madlik is Gedish Shachaber B'Shabbos.
So you've got Misa... Misa because he was able on
Malachas Mavis,
and Chayav Mammon
as a compensation.
Presumably, the principle you just not based on Chaim, he will not pay the Mammon because he's going to get Misa based on the Osir.
Correct, exactly, and that's what the Mishnah says. The Mishnah says above a Kama Hamadikas Gadisha Shal Chaver B'Shabbes Potter Shekem Mischayav B'Nafsha. So now we say a new halacha here. And that new halacha, says Reb Chaim, is that Misa patters you up from Mammon. It's a new p'tur. It's like a choshe mishpat halacha, that there are certain cases in which you don't have to pay damages. And one of those cases is when he's chayav misa, and that we derive from the parasha of the Dmei Velotos, that if she dies, then he's chayav misa for the blow that he dealt to the woman, and he doesn't pay damages. Why? Because misa is a poter. So, for example, in the case of Edim Zomimim, who testified against this woman that she committed a znus and she has to be put to death and she loses her ksuba, what we're going to say is that the misa, which is imposed on the Edim under Kashzom, patters up the Edim from Mama. That comes under the parasha of Lo Yasson. But in the case of Malchus and Mama, we don't have the parasha of Lo Yasson. What we have is a different parasha. Because Lo Yasson means something about misa. Here he's not chayav misa, he's only chayav Malchus. Here the Torah says Kedei Rishasa, you can't implement two punishments. However, that's because you have an overlap of two different Rishayos. But if it's one Rishas, in which case he perjured himself and said that this guy is a Motzi Shemra, and therefore this guy should get Malchus and he should pay Mammon, then we're just meeting out punishments for, on the Kashrut Sova, for one Rishas. And that's not Kedei Rishasa, because Kedei Rishasa is a case of Shtei Rishonis. This is how Reb Chaim tries to justify Tosfos and Ksubas. That Tosfos and Ksubas says that in this case of Edim Zomimim, we're going to give the Edim both Mammon and Malchus. And the reason for that, says Reb Chaim, is because it's one Rishas. There is no Halach that Malchus patters you up from Mammon. If that Halach would exist, but it doesn't because we have no source for it, but if that Halach theoretically would exist, then in the case of Edim Zolomim, we give him Malchus and he would be Pater from Mom. Because the Malchus would Pater him from Mom. But this halach of a Ptur only is derived from Lo Yasson in the case of Misa. There's something unique about a Chi of Misa that it Paters you up from Mom. We have no right to jump the gun and assume that the same halach applies to Malchus. The Malchus Paters you up from Mom. Who says the Malchus is on the same level of Misa and it has the power to Pater you up from Mammon? We don't know such a thing. What we do know is that Beis Din's hands are tied when there's an overlap of two Rishayos. They can't meet out two punishments. Choose your Rishas. But if there's only one Rishas, which has now two punishments, then we will apply the principle of Lokim Vishalim, and we'll implement both punishments. That's how Reb Chaim understands this Tosfos. So in the few minutes that we have left until Ma'ariv, I would like to introduce a Gemara in Tmura. The Gemara in Tmura establishes that there are three cases in which, these are exceptions to the rule, we mete out a punishment for what's called a lav she'ein bo maisa. There was no action. Nishba meimar u'makal eschavero. Now makal means he mentions the name of God in the klola, fine. That's something else. Afal pisholo osa maisa chay. So Tosfos asks the following question, and I think, Daniil, you asked this question before. Why is it that if someone defames his wife, he gets Malchus for violating the law of Lotei like Rachel Ba'amecha? That's also a law of Shem B'maisa. Why does the Gemara give this exhaustive list that only has three cases on it? What about the law in the case of Motzi Shema? He gets Malchus, it's a law of Shem B'maisa. So the answer to Tosfos' kasha is quoted here in the name of the Brisker Rav. Motzi Shemra, ain't our Malchus mitzad Allah. We don't give you Malchus for violating the law of Telech Roch. It's a law of Shem B'maisa. Dibachol pamsha over al alav, ain't loke. If anybody defames someone, with the exception of a husband who defames his wife, there is no Malchus. That's a lav shem bo maisa. Rak b'motzi shemra al ishto l'chud loke. Only in the case of motzi shemra does he get Malchus. Not for violating the lav, but because of the parish of motzi shemra, a special new kind of Malchus that's meted out to someone who slanders his wife, falsely accusing her of his nus. Vihine, Rabbi Meir Sover, the Lokia Mishalim. Everything that we said until now about Kedei Rishoso, that you don't give out both Malkus and Mammon, that's only according to the Chachamim. Rabbi Meir disagrees. He holds that you can have a double punishment of Lokim Mishalim. So Ula, in the Sugya and Ksubis, asks the question, how does Rabbi Meir know this? What is the source for Rabbi Meir? He must have known from somewhere in the Torah that you get both Malkus and Mammon. And he answers, Gomer mi motzi shemra. Ma motzi shemra lokim mishalim. Af kol lokim mishalim. The kosher. The bishlema e name of the malchus haviala lav. Shapir choshu shtei rishoyos. The mamanu ala el etzem otzos ha-shemra. Shahotzi olea ve'ilu malchus ala lav. U'mishum hachi shayach beidina. The kdei rishoso. In other words, if Rabbi Meir wants to disprove the Chachamim who hold Kedei Rishoso, he can quote the parsha of Motzi Shemra where the Torah meets out two punishments for this crime. But that's only if you assume that there are two different Rishoyos here. That he gets, that the Motzi Shemra gets Malkus for violating the lav of Lo Telech Rochel, and he gets Mammon because he defames his wife. I will e-name if we accept the principle of the Brisker Rav, that Malkus b'motzi shemra, having been parshas motzi shemra, u'michiyuv in the motzi shemra, kimo atashlumin. Basically, we have one rishus, and the Torah meets out two punishments for one rishus. Is that has nothing to do with kedei rishus? So, how does Rabbi Meir use the case of motzi shemra to disprove the chachamim that here we get Malkus and Mammon? It's all one rishus. Why? Because he's not getting Malkus for the lav. Why doesn't he get Malkus for the lav in the case of Motzi Shemra? It's a lav Shembo Maisa. So the Malkus here is a separate category of a Malkus for Motzi Shemra. It's all part of the Rishus. This is a punishment for that Rishus of slandering his wife. We're going to give you a Malkus, and the Torah says we're going to impose a penalty of Mea Kesef. If that be the case, then when the Torah says in the case of Motzi Shemra that you get both Malkus and Mammon, that has nothing to do with Kedei Rishoso. Why? Because it's one Rishus. And as we said before, like in the case of Chovel that I mentioned earlier of assault, where there's an overlap of a violation of the law of Ben Yosef plus the compensation as a Mazik, then we apply the principle of Kedei Rishoso. But if it's two punishments of Malkus and Mammon for one crime, then this has nothing to do with Kedei Rishoso. How can Rabbi Meir use the parsha of Motzi Shemra to establish that Mammon and Malkus, that even when there's an overlap of Mammon and Malkus, Motzi Shemra is a case where the Torah imposed two punishments for one Rishus? This is a bomb, Kash. I mean, everything that we've said now is like hanging in the balance over here, because the fact that Rabbi Meir applies Kedei Rishoso and now disproves the principle of Kedei Rishoso from Motzi Shemra with his Malkus and Mammon, that makes no sense if we're assuming that the Malkus and Motzi Shemra has nothing to do with the lav, but rather it's built into the punishment for Motzi Shemra. Okay, Rabbi Moshe, we'll stop here. This is a cliffhanger. And I promise you that next week will be a little easier. I got so excited about this when I prepared it that I chose it. But bear with me, okay, Sam? You know, I don't want to scare you away. All right, then. All right, they're about to say Baruch Hu, so I dabbed the rim.
Next week is Ato Shem is a normal shiur, right? Because you know that.
What is it? Election day or something?
No, because the day after, you're officiating Shaul's chuppah, but it's normal, right?
Elections on Tuesday.
Just one second. The Shaul's chuppah is on a Thursday.
Yeah, yeah. No,
the election's on a Tuesday.
Yeah, so it's in between.
You know, sometimes we do away with Tachlin on the
Shabbos.
Yom HaMiyuchas.
Is it 10:30 Shulchan Aruch Thursday?
No, I'm going to start that on 10:30 tomorrow is a Chumash class, but the Sanhedrin shall start next week. We waited for your return.
If Reuven sends Shimon to kill Levi, is Reuven guilty of murder?
Say it again. Reuven did what?
Reuven sends Shimon to kill Levi.
Right.
Is Reuven guilty of murder?
That's a machlokas tadoyim.
Because here God Reuven sending two shlichim to say that.
Because the Navi says to David about Uri Achiti, also harakta becherub bnei Amon. You remember that David Amel put Uriah up front in the front lines, and he was killed by the bnei Amon. So the Navi accuses him of ritzicha. So in the case of
this, this is Bala's doing in this case. He sent you two witnesses to get Bedin to kill someone. So it's very nice to accuse him of multi shemra. He's doing far worse than that. He's peace killing his wife to death, and that we don't seem to be relating to him.
Well, again, we're not.
It's like David sending the guy to the front.
Right, but that's Shammai HaZakeh. We don't pass like Shammai HaZakeh. We pass in that ain't shliach l'dvar
aveira. Well, then why is he guilty of Motzi Shemra?
Because Motzi Shemra means that he brought false witnesses against his wife.
But he didn't bring up Motzi Shemra. The witnesses gave the testimony based on the testimony.
But he brought them into Bez, and he's responsible once he brings them into Bez. If they came on their own, so again, I'm not learning the sugya now, but I don't think he'd be. I don't think he'd be chayav.
Had enough sense, he'd send them off on their own to.
I don't know. That you're asking a technical question. I don't know.
But it's a matter of life and death.
And for that, I'd have to know more about Motzi Shem.
All right, thanks.
Okay, good.